Let us pray. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is a marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come. Let us set out in the light of the Lord. Let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses. And deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to Thee, confessing our faults, confiding in Thy grace, and finding in Thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Lord God, You assure us that You blot out our transgressions for Your own sake and will not remember our sins. We thank You that Your mercies are renewed in our lives each morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in singing the hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Again, hymn number 165, number 165.
Good morning and welcome to worship. It is the second Sunday of Easter. Thank you for tuning in. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister in the Memorial Church. And whether you are joining us by listening in on the radio or over the internet in Cape Town, whether you are 1 month old or 100 years old, whether you have deep faith, questioning faith, no faith, or multiple faiths, whoever you are, wherever you are, you are welcome here. And what's more, your presence is a blessing to us and to our worship. Our service this morning is a collective labor of love. Our preacher is our very own ministry fellow, Reverend Wes Kahn. Our worship leader is Professor Emmanuel Champon, Minister of Formation and Worship and the Ellen Gurney Professor of History and Professor of African and African American Studies, and the Oppenheimer Faculty Director of the Harvard University Center of African Studies. Our readers are teachers from our church school. The first lesson is read by Tori Joyner, the teen class teacher and youth leader. The second lesson is read by Kayla Manning, class of 2022, who teaches our first and second grade class. The music for this service is provided by Edward Jones, Gund University organist and choirmaster. Today's choral offerings are taken from the Harvard University Choir's 2014 recording, Spring Bursts Today. The prelude and postlude are recordings by David von Baron, assistant university organist and choirmaster. Behind the scenes, Jeffrey Blackwell and Jesus Romo Lamas stitch together this service for all of us. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website at www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. Although you do not need the order of worship to follow along, worship in whatever way is most meaningful for you. We wanted to extend a heartfelt thank you to everyone who contributed to our virtual Easter photo album. It warmed our hearts to see your smiling faces. A surprising delight of this difficult time has been the opportunity to listen on the radio and worship alongside you. Although, how lovely and comforting it was to see your familiar faces. We hope that you can join us on Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. for a virtual Mem Cafe. This will be a time for us to check in with one another. We invite you to bring one or two sentences that have been grounding for you during this time. If you would like to participate, please email Wes Kahn to receive the login details. Next Sunday, we will be here again at 11 a.m. on WHRB. And our preacher will be Matthew Potts, Associate Professor of Religion and Literature and of Ministry Studies at Harvard Divinity School, and an affiliated minister in the Memorial Church. If you want to learn more about the spiritual practices and worship life of our community, I recommend that you sign up for our daily newsletter on pilgrimage. You can do so on our website. The newsletter offers music on Mondays, meditations by students, faculty, and clergy on Tuesdays and Thursdays, instruction in a spiritual practice on Wednesdays, and prayers of the community on Fridays. We also have a prayer request tab on our homepage, and we invite you to leave your prayer requests there. This is the point in the service when we would normally reach out to extend the sign of peace to one another. Whether you are alone or with others, please take a moment to find God's peace within, and then to share it with the world. This may take a few breaths or moments. Sometimes sharing the peace works best this way. Focus on someone you love with whom you want to share the peace. Then widen your lens. Think of others you love. Then move out to see friends, acquaintances, neighbors, those who frustrate you. Then turn to those you don't really know and those you don't know at all. In this way, God's peace is spread to all. So friends, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Our offering this morning goes to sustain the important work of our Grants Committee. This committee supports local organizations who directly serve the most vulnerable in our midst, work that is even more crucial during this difficult time. You can make an offering on our website by pressing the Ways to Give tab at the top right-hand corner of our homepage. Let us give what we have as an affirmation of God's generosity towards us and to share Christ's love with the world.
This joyful Easter tide awaits in us all, O Lord, my Lord. first lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at the 14th verse. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. second lesson comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning at the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God," Jesus said to him. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the lesson.
As we come to offer the prayers of the people, we lift our eyes up to the hills from whence our help comes, to the Lord God who made heaven and earth. We offer these prayers of love on behalf of ourselves and our neighbors, on behalf of your creation and our fellow creatures. The celebration of Easter has reminded us of how God took human form, lived on earth, and died on the cross to redeem us from sin and to reconcile us to our Creator God. That Christ rose from the dead showed that death could not hold him captive, just as in his life on earth he defied many of the laws of nature. In this we are assured, in this time of the corona pandemic, that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that Christ holds in his mercy those who are sick from COVID-19 and those who have succumbed. With quarantine and social distancing, with lockdown across several parts of the world, Christ is with us. Just as the locked doors did not prevent the resurrected Christ from appearing to his disciples, who had hidden themselves after the crucifixion, afraid of what the times would bring in those uncertain days. We continue to pray for our Harvard community, our state of Massachusetts, and our country, for those under treatment for COVID-19. For those awaiting testing, for healthcare providers and first responders who are on the front line of this pandemic. Lord, keep your people safe. Acts of kindness are paramount in times like this. Help us remember to reach out in safe ways to the elderly, those vulnerable, and those alone in these times. The U.S. now has more coronavirus cases than any other country. As we wrestle with the implications of this, we worry also about the approach of the hurricane season. Last weekend, tornadoes ripped through the South and caused the death of at least 32 people. On Monday, some 93 million people from Texas to South Carolina, a stretch of some 1,200 miles, were under a tornado watch. Eternal God, protect your people. Lord God, save your people, for in you we live and move and have our being. Our faith in you remains unshaken, and we find comfort in the words of the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Love thee more dearly. Would you be with me in a spirit of prayer? God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. The disciples weren't expecting a resurrection, a triumphal comeback of their Messiah to deliver them from oppression and establish God's victorious reign. At the crucifixion, the disciples were a completely hopeless group. There was no sense of Christ's return, a coming again. Jesus' followers, after he'd been captured and killed, fled for their own safety, for fear that the same fate awaited them. The disciples and Jesus' closest companions hid themselves. They huddled away in a house, locked the doors, and shuttered up hope itself. I'm not sure, given our own circumstances, that many of us were expecting a resurrection last Sunday either. Out of instinct, I woke up early in the morning, as if I were actually going to an Easter sunrise service. I was committed to witnessing the victorious resurrection the way I always have. But instead, I rose early only to move from my bedroom to the living room. Like the disciples in today's gospel reading from John, we are still tucked away, hidden from the world and each other. This story tells us that they remained in hiding the week after Mary found Jesus in the garden. They were still stowed away in their house a week after the resurrection. I imagine the disciples to be overtaken with grief. They had lost so much. Witnessing the violence of the crucifixion, it concretized Jesus' death. As he was put on the cross, they watched their future disappear. Things would never be the same. So much of what the disciples were feeling is like what we're experiencing behind our locked doors. How bad is this going to get, we wonder. Orders to stay at home are extended. Anger surfaces inside each of us every time we realize a routine is gone, a social connection severed, and senses of security jeopardized. Too many of us have found ourselves anxious about life and death issues, and at the very least, we are swept up in the sympathetic loss for others, including those on the front lines, those who have lost their jobs, and those who have already lost friends and family to the virus. It is here, among sorrow and grief, that Jesus appears. Jesus came through walls and a locked door and stood among the disciples. In Luke's version of this story, the disciples are startled and terrified when Jesus entered the house. Luke wrote that they feared they had seen a ghost. Jesus' body is present, yet positioned somewhere else. His body had lived life, endured death, and is now on another plane, intersecting with the present. And at this point, surely they are wondering if this was like when their friend Lazarus came back from the tomb. He was brought back to life as it was. However, Jesus' return is different. It's a resurrection. And as Professor Paul Sells said last Sunday, resurrection isn't a return to normal. For the disciples, this is a period of disorientation. They witnessed the violence of Jesus' death, and now, days later, Jesus stands among them. They wonder, is this for good Or is this a haunting? In her book, Resurrecting Wounds, theologian Shelley Rambo talks about the resurrection as a period of disorientation and reorientation, filled with moments of misrecognition that convey the challenges of witnessing life and the aftermath of death. For the disciples, the resurrection is not a return to normal. It is not a triumphant moment, and it is not a quick ripping off of the Band-Aid to avoid a prolonged pain. It's not appropriate for winning to be exclaimed, and nor is it right to proclaim total recovery. To be clear, Easter is secured, and Christ's resurrection is sure. Our Alleluias are not, and the Alleluias of time were not, in vain. To help the disciples come to terms with what they are seeing, Jesus displays his wounds. He shows them first to all the disciples but Thomas, who was not there. Jesus then returns again to the house, entering through the same walls and locked door to show Thomas. Jesus stood before the disciples and opened up the palms of his hands. He lifted his foot from beneath his tunic. He put his mantle above his waist and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Resurrection certainly hasn't returned things to normal. Jesus is there with the disciples, breathing on them, and yet his body remains marked with crucifixion. The wounds are what the disciples know. These are their reference points for their pain and sorrow. For the disciples, the resurrection is recognizable only by first acknowledging the pain, not glossing over the hard stuff, but looking at the wounds, to know that the past is real, that Jesus' presence among them is real, and that life does emerge amid the ruins. Jesus came to his disciples. He met them where they were at, and so too it is for us. Jesus has and will again pass through our shut doors, stand among us in our grief, and offer us his wounds. "Put your finger here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side," he will say. Christ reaches us where we are at now, in our weakness. His wounds convey the reality and power of the resurrection for us. That resurrection isn't an erasure of our experiences of sadness and uncertainty. In her writing about the resurrection, Shelley Rambo goes on to say that Christ's wounds make room for the complexities of our lives, the joy amidst sorrow, the life amidst death. Through his mysterious resurrection, Christ's wounds travel with him. They are not scars or bloody lacerations. These are something else. Wounds that are open to hurt. Christ's wounds are a way to be with Christ and to touch the resurrection itself. His wounds show us that life will be reassembled. Christ's wounds point to new articulations of life. They let past and present meet to create the future. Like the disciples, we cannot replace what has been lost, but we can let suffering and joy co-mingle to help us feel our way forward. As I sat in my living room, determined to go to an Easter sunrise service, I instead found myself watching the papal Easter Mass broadcast from the Vatican. It was enchanting to hear the sung Alleluias echo through the nearly empty St. Peter's Basilica, watching the camera zoom in and out on the cavernous church. I was astonished to hear the Gospel of John's account of the resurrection chanted in both Latin and Greek. The deacon referenced the Gospel book with his stole before letting his voice sing the resurrection story in Greek, its original language. My body quivered as he elongated the Greek word meaning to rise from the dead, emphasizing it as his voice moved through a mysterious array of different notes. Dispersed throughout my viewing of this service were various notifications on my phone informing me of the latest number of deaths from the virus. Badges appeared on my screen, letting me know that New York was burying unclaimed bodies in makeshift graves. Here, life and death were brought together in real time. Jesus standing before me with his wounds bare, pain and grief intertwined with comfort and joy. If these wounds of Christ before me were real, then so too are our wounds. And this intermingling of life and death, of wounds, means that Christ's resurrection is as real for us as it was for the disciples, whether we are shut behind our doors or whether we expect it or not. This wasn't the glorious resurrection I was accustomed to on Easter morning, and for good reason. It was, however, an honest-to-God resurrection. Amen. Let us sing together now the hymn, Love's Redeeming Word is Done, hymn number 167, found in your online worship bulletin. Receive now this benediction. May the grace of Christ, which daily renews us, and the love of God, which enables us to love all, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which unites us in one body, make us eager to obey the will of God until we meet again. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.